and repeat it with me now. Jerusalem the golden, with milk and honey blessed, the promise of salvation, the place of peace and rest. We know not, oh, we know not, what joys await us there, the radiancy of glory, the bliss beyond compare. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those are such wonderful words. I wanted to make sure that you heard them yet again. Happy New Year to you, and a happy start to our Advent season. Today, like I said earlier, marks the first Sunday in the church new year. And we begin again on that part of the church year in which we study and look and we celebrate and remember the life and the work of Jesus Christ. Today, being again the first Sunday in Advent, we have now lit the Advent candle, the first candle on the Advent wreath. That candle is often referred to as the prophecy candle. It's the candle that reminds us that the coming of Christ to earth was foretold ahead of time. Jesus' coming was foretold so that when it came to pass, people would remember God's promise and again be reminded of God's faithfulness. So we've lit this candle to remind us that Christ has come and God has kept his promise. There's a beautiful Hebrew legend of two brothers who lived side by side on adjoining lands. One was the head of a large family. The other lived alone. One night, the brother with a large family lay awake and thought to himself, "My brother lives alone. He doesn't have the companionship of wife and children to cheer his heart as I have. While he sleeps, I'll carry some of my harvest into his field." At the same late night hour, the other brother reasoned to himself, "My brother has a large family, and his necessities are much greater than mine. As he sleeps, I will put some of my harvest into his field." So the two brothers went out, each carrying out his plan and each laden with harvest for the other brother. They met at the dividing line of their properties, and there they embraced. The legend goes on to say that years later, at that very place, stood the temple in Jerusalem. And on this very spot of their meeting, where they were sacrificing for one another, at the very spot of their meeting stood the temple's altar. So says the legend. And it's a legend that's meant to instill the virtue of self-sacrifice. It teaches the merits of placing the needs of others above your own, of seeking the welfare of your brother above yours. And that, of course, is what God did. That's what God did in sending Jesus, our brother, to the city of Jerusalem, to where the legendary brothers in the story met. Now, in today's gospel lesson, we read the story of Christ coming to that spot, coming to Jerusalem, to the city where God meets man. It's the place where sacrifice is made, like the brothers did for each other. It's the place of atonement for sin. Now, the context that we read was Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And no, we're not confused, but it's not a time that we normally associate with Advent or with Christmas. But remember, we're not in Christmas, we're in Advent. It's the time of preparation for the coming of Jesus. And today is about the prophecy of Christ coming, as was promised, to do the work of salvation. That work was done at Jerusalem. But before that saving work was done at the end of the week that we read about, Jesus had come to Jerusalem many different times. Jerusalem is the place where things that are absolutely core to our religion took place. But we don't need to go there for ourselves, for our religion to be authentic. Our touchstone, the location of intersection between God and us, is not the place where those core events happen. Yes, the place is significant, but it's not what we need in order to worship, in order for us to meet God. The place of touching God for us has moved from Jerusalem. The place has shifted. For us now, that place of meeting God is in the person of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, he entered as the sacrifice. He came as the Son of David, as the Lamb of God, who'd come to take away the sin of the world. He came to Jerusalem, and he did that work on the cross, dying the innocent death in the place of sinful man. He came in fulfillment of the promises of God, the prophecies, as the Advent candle reminds us on the wreath today. And when Jesus left Jerusalem, he left it as the victor, the conqueror. He moved the place where we touch God from the stones and mortar of the temple to the bread and blood of himself. We don't need to go to Jerusalem to be touched by God. That now happens for us through the person of Jesus Christ coming to us in word and in baptism and in Holy Communion. When you come and take communion, you receive the fullness of the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, by his word of promise, comes here. He comes here and he meets you. We don't need to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem has come to us. And in Jesus coming to us, in Jerusalem coming to us, we've been given the power to freely live life in faithful service to the one who kept his promise to us and to the world. We then strive to keep our promises of faithful living and service and love to one another as Christ has kept his promise to us. Where's this? Anybody tell me? What? Pompeii, that's right. Most of us are familiar with the fate of Pompeii. It's on the Bay of Naples in Italy. You've been there, huh? Oh, I thought maybe you had. Okay. Well, it was destroyed in 79 AD. Think about that for a moment. 79 AD, just 40 years or so after the time of Christ. It was destroyed by a volcano. Now, the ruins of the city have been excavated, and they continue to be, as I understand it. And it's clear that most people tried to flee the city during the volcanic eruption. Some were found as far away as in the boathouses and the docks in that area, and still they were overtaken by the hot poisonous gases, and it overcame everyone. At the city gate, however, excavators found the skeleton of one man who did not try and flee the eruption. He was a Roman guard, and he remained at his post with both of his hands on his weapon. Even when the ground on which he stood trembled and shook, and the fiery ashes descended from the sky onto the city, he remained faithfully at his post. We also remain faithfully at our post, faithful to the work the Lord Jesus has given us to do, even if the world shakes under our feet, even if the world goes to pieces around us. When the Lord again keeps his promise and again returns and comes back to earth, may he find us faithfully striving to do His will, and to live lives faithful to the one who has made peace with God for all people. Jerusalem, the city, has completed, it's finished its role of the place where peace with God for all people everywhere has been accomplished. Our brother Jesus sacrificed Himself there for us. He came, like we said, as the sacrifice. He left as the victor. And He moved the location of where we place our trust from the city to Himself alone. When Jesus ascended from this earth, it was not from Jerusalem, but from a different mountain, and that's significant. It's not that Jerusalem was no longer important, but as we said, its importance has now been overshadowed by the cross. The cross where Jesus died transferred, if you will, the place of our faith. God's promise has been fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, not the place of Jerusalem. Now, yes, Jerusalem still plays a part, but for us, it now represents what Jesus has accomplished, what He has done. He is the new Jerusalem that we read of in Revelation 21 that will return from heaven. Jerusalem has now been made perfect and complete and whole because that is what Jesus has accomplished by coming, as prophesied and promised, fulfilling the work of the Lamb of God who came to Jerusalem to take away the sin of the world. Remember, we said that Jesus came to Jerusalem many times. Today He came as the sacrifice, yes. But before that, He came as the teacher during 3 years of His earthly ministry. He came before that to Jerusalem as a boy. Remember the boy Jesus remaining behind in the temple after the family had gone up for the Passover. Jesus, the boy, came to Jerusalem and to the temple to be, as He said, where? In My Father's house. Yeah. And Jesus also came to Jerusalem as an infant. This is important, seeing as we're in Advent. He came to Jerusalem as an infant. He came on the eighth day after His birth. He came the eighth day after His birth. He was brought there to the temple by Joseph and Mary to be circumcised according to the law. And in doing that, by shedding His blood in circumcision, they began Jesus' process of fulfilling the law for us all by shedding His blood again on the cross. Jesus completes all stages of the law, beginning on the eighth day after His arrival on earth, that we are looking forward to celebrating when Advent ends and Christmas arrives. Advent, this time right now, helps us to remember that Jesus kept God's promise and came to earth, came to Jerusalem. He comes to us still through His promise to be with us in all the stages of our lives. He promises to come to us through word and water and bread and wine. Remember the legend of the two brothers and the virtue of self-sacrifice. Remember the value of placing the needs of others before your own. Remember the faithful soldier at his post and the importance of remaining faithful, just as Christ has been faithful to us. And that is what God did in sending Jesus, our brother, to the city of Jerusalem. That's what Advent is for us, the reminder that God keeps His promises to come to us. That's the significance of the prophecy candle that we lit today. It reminds us that Jesus keeps all His promises. Throughout our entire lives, throughout all of our lives, God comes to us just as Jesus came to Jerusalem. We put our faith and our hope in Him. and we pray. Maranatha, come again, Lord Jesus, and come swiftly. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight.